Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. What a significant day in the life of the church. And it just happens that for us as our location, if you've been with us for a minute, you'll know that every month we love to do what we call a Kingdom Culture Sunday. We've got 9 Kingdom Culture values and we like to focus on those and look at the question that comes with that, because values aren't just beautiful messages on a wall, but it's something that we live and breathe. It's what outpours from us as a church, what we believe is integral. So it comes with a question that's introspective, that makes us think about our own walk with God. And so it's only fitting that when we think about Pentecost Sunday, we think about our Kingdom Culture value, miracles are normal. And I want to talk on that topic today, and turn to your neighbor and tell them miracles are normal. If you're brave, you can turn to the other neighbor and use the R of miracles are normal. Arr, viva la España. Come on. Getting the Spanish in me. Ah, come on. You know, the question that comes with this Kingdom Culture value is the supernatural a part of my daily experience? You know, it's funny because I read it. Someone sent it to me once and they sent it with the typo. And it was a part, as in like A-P-A-R-T. Is it apart from us? And the reality is, for many of us in church, it is a part of us. As in like, it's not a part of what we do. We don't feel that we're graced for it. We don't feel like we're deserving of it. We don't feel like we understand it. And so what we don't understand, we fear, we stand away from. What can happen is we can see what happens in worship, and because we haven't encountered it, we might get a bit freaked out and think, oh, wait a second, like, what's going on there? But can I tell you, when we think about Pentecost Sunday was not an event in the annals of history, but it was an encounter, an opportunity that each of us get on a day-to-day life, in our day-to-day life. And so the scripture that accompanies this value is Acts 1:8, Jesus saying, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You know, when we unpack that scripture, the first thing that we see is that you shall receive, not you may receive. Ooh, some of you, if you come to the church services every week, you'll get it. If you read your Bible and pray 5 hours a day, you'll get, no. He is speaking to everyone that's looking at him ascend. Jesus is ascending. There's a whole group of people there, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But he says, you shall receive. It's an opportunity for all. It's not exclusive for some. So first thing. Second thing we see in there is that when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, he doesn't wait for you to come to him. He waits for you to invite him to come to you. He wants to fill your heart. And the result is not about, wow, how great are you as a prophet? Wow, how great is your gift of healing? No, that's not the result. It's to be witnesses to Jesus. How good is he? Okay. See, the Holy Spirit is not for my own selfish gain. If it was all about me, then I would be a clairvoyant, I would be a fortune teller, because it would be all about me. But the reality is, it's not. It's about Jesus. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit again so that people would know that he is the Christ, to bear witness to the whole earth. And so this day, this scripture, the day of Pentecost, and I'm only going to unpack it a little bit because I want to get back to the miracles and normal, and you'll see why. There's method to madness here. But this scripture, Acts 2:1-4, is one of the most scrutinized scriptures in our doctrine. You know, there'd be about 100 odd people in here today in the upper room. There was 120 people. And it's funny because as I was preparing for this, the Lord gave me a picture, and then in worship added to that picture. The first one is that when we read it from the lens of a critic, from outside. If we think of the upper room and it's got all these beautiful windows, we look at it from the outside at what happened in there, and we critique. This is what tongues means. This is what fire means. This is what the Holy Spirit did. But can you put yourself in the perspective of the people on that day? They had no clue what to expect. Yeah. And so I'm going to read this verse, and then we're going to pray in a moment. Again, I've got notes. I don't know if I'm going to follow them. We're just going to follow what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But we're going to read it first. It says, When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, when I read that, okay, cool, we're going to read it, we're going to unpack it. But then the Lord asked me to do this. I want to invite us, wherever you are, just to close your eyes. Just to close your eyes. Ignore the distractions around you. And the Holy Spirit's inviting us to go into the room, to put ourselves in the position of the very people that were in there. And it was during worship here, and I shared it with with prayer power, and I shared it with the people in prayer power that my heart broke, because all of a sudden, when we close our eyes and we put our perspective to it, the Lord gives me this picture that those windows become boarded up, that we don't get the full picture of what happened in there. So as you have your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to get you to answer this out loud, just in your own heart. When you think about what took place on that day, what do you think? What do you feel? See, I grew up being taught about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scripture. No one spoke about the Holy Spirit where I grew up. It was this ooky, spooky, scary thing where if someone prophesied, they just call out your dirty laundry. I call that gossip. I don't call that prophecy. It wasn't a word of God. It was a word from what we say in Spanish, the tortillera, the lady that just likes, or the person that likes to talk about all the gossip. And as you have your heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to read this again in a moment, but I want you to put yourself in the story. But I felt that the Holy Spirit wanted me to share this before I even read it again. Some of you, the boards that are covering the windows say, you've never spoken in tongues, therefore you have not received the Holy Spirit. The people in that room had never spoken in tongues, but you still received the Holy Spirit. For others, I felt on behalf, even though it's got nothing to do with me, but I feel like on behalf of people that have led you, to say sorry for those people that have prophesied incorrect things over your life and judgment and condemnation to manipulate you to get them to do what they want. The Lord wants to release you from that. On those people in that day, I feel for others, there are boards of judgment and condemnation. If you knew what I had done, I wouldn't be welcome into that room. Do you know that in that room, in the upper room, you had Peter who looked at Jesus 3 times and denied him to his face? You had people like Levi, Matthew, a tax collector, considered scum of society. You had women who were prostitutes who had been set free from Jesus who were in that room. What you have done doesn't disqualify you from being in that room. Do you know, and again, we're going to read it again. Keep your eyes closed, because I feel that the Lord is healing people's hearts right now. Because when you look at it from the lens of what you see boarded up, you only get a partial picture of what took place in that day. For the people that were in that room, they had no clue what was coming. So let's read it from that perspective. Lord, I just pray right now that as I read this, that you would take out of our hearts the preconceived ideas, judgments, and assumptions. Because Lord, I know that hindsight can be beneficial in most cases, but in this case, it can actually limit us from what you want to do, because we put our own preconceived ideas of what you can and can't do before this, Lord. So I pray that you just have open hearts, open minds. I have open heart, open mind as we read this again. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, today is the day of Pentecost, church. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So Lord, right now I just pray that your Holy Spirit just start touching people right now, Lord. You didn't need Peter or any of the disciples to do this, Lord. You just showed up, Lord. So I just pray even right now, you start healing hearts. That the very first miracle that's taking place right now, Lord, is that you are healing broken hearts right now, Lord. You are renewing minds, Father God. It's not my job to renew a mind. It's my job to share what you put on my heart. You're the one, Holy Spirit, that convicts and transforms, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that as I share what you've put on my heart, that we would look at it from the lens of expectation, not from judgment, not from my own critique, but from what you want to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, after Jesus instructed the people, you know, when we think about Pentecost, it was took place about 50 days after Jesus was, you know, died and raised again. And here we are, Jesus is back from the dead and they're seeing this miracle, the people. And again, I want to take us there. I want to tell it like a story because for me, I'm very visual when I read this. I put myself in that story. I think about Jesus, all of a sudden he's walking around again. Here he is again. And even though he had said this was going to happen, it actually happened. And here he is now ascending to heaven. And his last words are, "As I go, I leave the Holy Spirit with you." And I'm like, what does that look like? You can imagine what those people were feeling in that moment in time. And so he ascended and he left on earth anticipating what was to come, but in the beautiful way that God loves to do it with very minimal information. Stay here and wait. If there are two things that I can never really do is stay here and wait. Waiting, I don't do well. Just ask Alexis when she's 5 minutes late to the car after school. What are you doing? 6 minutes, man. I've been waiting 6 minutes. What? You know, the Lord teaches. Thank God it's a fruit. And so I love that the people did as Jesus asked, and then the Holy Spirit appeared. See, the first thing that we look at that took place, and so even like this, I'm going to unpack it this way because I'm going on little tangents again. I'm following the way the Holy Spirit puts it in, right? You can't eat a good meal not understanding what ingredients go in that. Many of us think of Pentecost Sunday, we think of the whole meal. But what the Holy Spirit wants to do today is unpack the ingredients that led up to that. See, it didn't start off with suddenly, it led to suddenly. Yeah. Am I right? So the first thing that we see is that they were expectant together. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord at one place. So Jesus had come and gone. You know, we believe that Pentecost took place about 10 days after that. Can you imagine 10 days? I mean, Jesus didn't even give them a deadline. So every day they're coming together. Every day they're meeting together in the upper room. Not even asking this today, today, because they don't even know what today means. They don't understand except the words that Jesus said, go and wait. So they're not knowing what to look for. See, often we try to look for the outcome, but the Holy Spirit is saying, look for me, the Holy Spirit, not my outcome, because what I do in one, I'm not going to do the same in all. But we think, okay, I didn't fall like they did, therefore I don't have the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. And I think some of us need to know that because this is things that I had to unlearn, even in my own theology. For years, I came to this church. It took 3 years before I spoke in tongues. And for 3 years, I felt like I wasn't good enough. But God was still calling me. God was still speaking. But because it wasn't like it was for them, therefore I'm less than. I feel that God wants to break that off people today. So I'm not telling you off. There's just a passion in me today. Hey, no speculation. Just a confident expectation. United in one accord. You know, I love how it says that. It could have just easily said united, but it had to chuck in one accord. And don't worry for the dad jokes in here. I'm not going to make the dad joke. Actually, I might. What's Jesus' favorite car? The Honda Accord. Because they're all in one accord. There you go. Where there is unity, God commands a blessing. Think about that. The Holy Spirit is not fractured. I'll give some to you. I'll give some to you. Now go and fight to see who's more important. This will break, man. I tell you what, this will break. What happens in our world when churches are fighting over what took place in these four verses will break God's heart because we miss out on the very picture that suddenly hadn't happened. They were already united. They weren't fighting on what's this going to look like? Who's the Holy Spirit? They weren't fighting on that. They were just coming together and doing life. And for those that were with us a few weeks ago, I preached on the whole idea of, you know, church covenant family. I preached on the early church, Acts 2:44, that they had all things in common. Now, you got to understand that we're not all the same version of the one person. You had Jews, Gentiles, males, females, slaves. You had them all. And yet the scripture says they had all things in common. I love that line because for me, I think about they all had God at the center of it all. Secondary differences matter not when God is at the center. So here we are. And so we see that power in unity. Unity is the key to the move of God's Spirit. If they were divided, I can tell you one thing, Holy Spirit would not have come on that day if they were divided. Why? Because Jesus himself says the house divided cannot stand. So the question I ask us today, church, is are we united? Unity doesn't mean the same expression, that you've all got to do the same thing. No, no, that's dictatorship. Unity is that in a family, you know, I look at, you know, me and my brothers, for example, it's pretty obvious who we belong to as brothers when you look at our parents, but we're all very different in how we are. That's how God creates the body of Christ as well. And so it was at this point on Pentecost Sunday that they encountered the Holy Spirit. Their desire to wait meant that they were expectant to meet the Holy Spirit. And the focus wasn't on how long they had waited, but rather would today be the day. It was just that posture of, you know what, Lord, we're just trusting you. We saw everything you did. You set me free. I was lost, now I'm found. I'm just gonna be here waiting. I don't know who this Holy Spirit is. I've heard you speak about him. I don't know what he looks like. Is he gonna knock on the door? I don't know, but I'm just gonna wait because you told me to wait and you have not let me down. You said you would die, you died, you raised again. Here you are. You've not let me down yet. You will not let me down now, so I'll wait. And it was at that moment that God's suddenly moment appeared and none missed out. Do you know that God suddenly, and if you've been a Christian for a minute, you will learn this very quickly. And if you have for many, many minutes, you would know this to be true. God's suddenly moment and my suddenly moment are often polar opposites apart. We love Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, the plans to prosper you, not to harm you, bring you hope and a future. But then we forget that verse 12 says, after 7 years. Let's just hope you're not waiting 7 years for that, 70 years for that. God's appointed time doesn't depend on the convenience of man. And there's never a specified time for God's move, but we just keep on pressing. We just keep on pressing. And so then the suddenly moment came. Again, notice that we seek a suddenly moment in our lives, but could it actually be that that suddenly moment has got nothing to do with how much you've prayed, but what's broken in your heart that God needs to reconcile and unite before he moves? The pneuma, not pneuma church. We named the pneuma church after the pneuma, the spirit, the wind, the breath, the presence of God. That suddenly moment came like a sound of a mighty rushing wind, mighty pneuma, and it filled the whole house. Whether you sit in these empty rows here or you sit at the very back row, the presence is in the whole house. There was no one in there that missed out. All the people in there, whether they were the preachers like Peter at the front or whether they were the people that were setting up the back, the Holy Spirit didn't go, well, look, Peter, you preach a bit more, man. So I'm going to give you 85% of me. And, you only serve once a month. Gladys, I hope there's no Gladyses here. I'm not offending you, Gladys. I don't know a Gladys here, but, or do I go back to the Encanto theme? No, we won't. I'll give you 15 because you serve once a month. No. Here it says that when that suddenly moment came, it filled the whole house. Every single person in that house. No one missed out. The Holy Spirit doesn't discriminate on who he chooses to come on. We can all receive him. We can all invite him in. Just like Jesus, we can all receive him. And it's the same in church. The anointing is not just up here. It's all around you. But the question is, church, are you expectant of God? Whew, okay, wow. Often we can ask this question, are you expectant on God or are you expectant just for God? And let me explain this. God, do this for me and I'll come to you. Expectant on God is even if you don't, Daniel 3:18, we will not bow down to your God because our God can deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we will not bow. Doesn't expect God, do for me, then I'll serve. It's God. I don't know what that looks like. But I'm expectant on you. The rest, I know you've got better for me. It's kind of like, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we just want to walk on mountaintops and forget that in the valleys, God is still the God of the valley as he's of the mountaintop. Right. But we, as we walk, we're like, do for me and then I'll serve. No, that's not how God works. Is this helping anybody? Good. So again, I say they were all filled. Every single one of them were filled in that room. And Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, Dr. Luke, throughout the book of Acts uses different terminology to express in different instances of what took place. So there's the baptizing of the Holy Spirit, there's the filling of the Holy Spirit, and there's the pouring out. It's when you read it in scripture, it's all the same thing. It's basically that the Holy Spirit showed up. And all were expecting, and I feel like just reiterating this point, they were all expecting, so guess what? No one missed out. And so here it talks about that they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. The Holy Spirit will bestow on whoever what he wants to bestow for whatever purposes that he has. In this instant, the tongues were speaking in languages that other people outside could understand. You know, like it's almost like someone speaking Spanish, right? And I go somewhere, I can't speak English, and all of a sudden, you know, someone who, let's just say, Levi, oh, actually, you kind of speak Spanish. I go, Ebenezer, for example, starts speaking in Spanish and starts proclaiming the goodness of who God is, and I understand it. I'm like, wow, well, how does he know that? The Holy Spirit will do that. And that doesn't dismiss that there is that heavenly language. And that's a topic for another day. I'm not going to get into the debate in that, because what happens here is that what happened here wasn't to be debated. It was for God to move in that context. We'll talk about the other tongues another time. But God's gifts bestowed for his purposes, and they were not bestowed to be points of contention and division. What a beautiful experience it would have been to be there on that day. What a beautiful moment it would be to all of a sudden hear this rushing wind and to see the fire fall on people and on me too. In fact, I love to put myself like a little kid, and I'm not diminishing what happened here, but it's a bit of humor, you know, because again, this topic can roll people up. I want to be a little bit funny. It's like, you know, when, you know, your kids get a helium balloon and they blow in the helium and they talk and they're like, Daddy, blow in the helium. And then I blow it and I'm like, hello, everybody, you know, and they're all laughing. Oh my God, you too. That's how I think. Like, it would have been like, whoa, you too, me. I'm like, what language are we speaking? But we understand each other. Oh my goodness, what's happening? That's how I see it. We're like, oh, how come he got German and I got Arabic? It would have been an excitement. It would have been this beautiful moment to see, because there was no precedent. There was not, oh no, but my church says that this is how it happened. No, whoa, this has never happened before. This has got to be God. See, the baptism, The baptism of the Holy Spirit and the miracles that come with that are all about he, not about me. See, the people were amazed, not at Gladys, but as like, wait a second. God is in Gladys. And if God can touch Gladys's life, he can touch me. That's why the Lord added to the numbers daily. How could it be? See, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit shouldn't yield judgment and condemnation. It should bring awe and wonder to who God is. For those who witness, but also for those that experience. You know, I love hearing about the testimonies of what, you know, take place in this church. And I love hearing that the testimonies aren't all, because David prayed for them, they got healed. No, I love hearing testimonies like one that we recently heard where, you know, Kim, I don't know where Kim is, she's somewhere around helping outside, you know, looking after our foyer. One of our NSS students, and you got to understand, when we talk about Newman School of the Spirit, that isn't learner plates, right? They're just an opportunity to just continue to grow and learn. Decided to pray for a lady one day. You shall remain nameless to respect. And just prophesied, I see the Lord telling you, I see you dancing. I see you dancing with the Lord. And not realizing that the woman had an injury. And we get a message this week, that she was healed. Can we give God praise for that? Do you know that where you are in your workplace, that you have the same Holy Spirit that you encounter here, that you can pray for someone and see them healed? We didn't go up to Kim and go, we commission you to go and pray over this person. She just on her own accord did it. Do you know, it's just beautiful to hear those testimonies. You know, every time I mention Vince, and for those that are new, I mean, those that have been here for a while, you kind of get over hearing Vince, because he every single day is a miracle. Diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in October 2021, healed in March 2022. Come on. And that wasn't because I prayed for him. Funny enough, it was Brother Jit, and good to see Jit and Betty back for a week or two, traveling all over Japan, Malaysia, now traveling to Australia. Who just in prayer, Jit just said to him, "Hey, your cancer's gone, it's healed." And he was like, "Okay." And I remember you having even a chat with George about it. Like, oh, you know, that's bold faith. Turned out he declared it. And you know what? So you see the point that I'm making? It's not about one person. Each and every one of you have that opportunity to carry the Holy Spirit where you are. And you get to see the awe and wonder of God, and it goes about Him. Still, some doubted and some mocked. That's the reality of life. You're not going to convince everyone, right? People are going to be skeptical. They're even going to question, "Oh, but I knew who you were, man. Like, really?" And so for these guys, like, "Oh, these guys are drunk, man. No, no." These guys, like, you know, they like being at those weddings where Jesus turns the water to wine. They just like knocking back a few drinks. So this isn't God. But it's not our job to convince. And if they don't believe in Jesus, see, it's hard to comprehend. When you understand the concept of grace, that, wait a second, all I've got to do is believe, like confess with my mouth, believe in my heart. What do you mean? I don't have to go and just work for 10 years to repay all my bad deeds. It messes people up. The concept of grace messes people up. So when the Holy Spirit shows up and doesn't discriminate, that messes people up. It's hard to comprehend, which is why the fruit of the Spirit is important. Again, that's a topic for another time. See, our role is not to coerce or convince, but to receive, to trust and obey. And the other thing is that, you know what? The Holy Spirit is the star of the show, not us. I really believe that God in this season, and I love even this weekend with Prophetic Summit, really confirmed in that. I believe God is breaking off this idea of celebrity. That's not me mispronouncing celebrity. I know very well how to pronounce that word. What's celebrity? Oh, Brother Joe Bloggs is coming down from here. You know what? Let's just go and see it and hopefully he'll give me a word. Brother Joe Bloggs is not more anointed than you. He has the same Holy Spirit that you have. I believe that God is breaking off that day, even for us that are on prayer teams. And I'm not having to dig at our prayer teams here, just you know that, or anyone. Boom, boom, boom. Behold, Pastor Dave is walking in the building. Bow before me. No, God's breaking that. Because you know what? When I wasn't here last week, God moved powerfully. And it wasn't just because my wife carries that anointing, because we were away a month ago. And guess what? God moved powerfully. Yeah. That's what I loved about yesterday. People were coming and expecting to hear Richard Gordon to just share every single session, but he turned the second and third sessions into the people that were there ministering for other people. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. Wow. It's He who guides how we lead our services. So for those like on services like today when worship goes a bit longer, I can assure you in our fivefold meetings, we don't talk about how can we annoy brother so-and-so that wants it to go an hour and a half. I can assure you, and I can show you even our service flows. Technically, worship should have gone 28 minutes or something like that. I can assure you we don't sit in that meeting and how can we irritate someone's ears and I can assure you with that song that you don't like, I know that Sonia doesn't like that song, so let's sing it over and over again. I can assure you, He is the service flow. And you don't need to be a pastor in a church to have Him as your service flow. In your workplace, He is your service flow. When you go grocery shopping, He is your service flow. At home, your unbelieving parent, He is your service flow. He's the only, and what do I mean by that? The Holy Spirit is the only one that can convict and transform. You know, it's funny because us as preachers, right, we can often like, you know, at the end of a message be discouraged. Oh, no one put their hands up. And I remember Pastor Alan Davies gave a talk on sermons once, and you know, it was so refreshing to hear him say that. He's like, look, to be honest, I don't worry about who raises their hands or not. It's not my job to convict. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I just got to deliver what He puts on my heart. Yeah. He'll convict who He needs to convict. Yeah. There's not a KPI of how many people raise their hands. Is you know what? And when he said that, I'm like, that's so refreshing. Because I would feel like I'm calling a horse race, right? And come on, the Lord's calling you. And I see one hand, do I see the hand? And then no one raised their hand. Oh man, I'm a horrible preacher. No. Did we say what God put on our hearts to say? Nothing more, nothing less. And so the Holy Spirit bestowed on his people the boldness to declare Jesus. And the one who created the early church, which I talked about on the fortnight ago, how many people came and just signs and wonders broke out. It's the result of the Holy Spirit arrival on this day. Think about it. Holy Spirit comes here, and then we read Acts 2, 42 to 47. Then the church was birthed out of that. There's something fascinating about that. But it was in that moment on the arrival on that day that led to us being able to confidently declare this, miracles are normal. Let me say it again, because only one person believes. Because of what happened on Pentecost, we can declare miracles are normal. Do I have anyone with me? Don't believe me? Good. Acts 3, 1 to 10. This is the main scripture that I'll talk on for the next 5 hours. I'm joking. We're almost there, because today's about encounter. Acts 3, 1 to 10. You know, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Some say the temple, the gate at the temple are beautiful. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who went to the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And he would, and I don't believe on a tangent, I don't think it would have been a spectacle. Look at us! We're the believers and the preachers, we're the revivalists. Look at us. No fuss, because the fuss is not about us, it's about him. And I'll get to that in a second. I feel like God's breaking a lot of things off people today, let me tell you that. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, the very verse, the very important scripture for all pastors, "Silver and gold I do not have." Maybe silver, the 10-cent coins. Anyway, "But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he, Siti, who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Early church starts. Do you know that miracles don't just take place in a church? This wasn't in the church. This was just them going to prayer. You know, how many times have us, we say, "Lord, give us the opportunity to be a blessing," and we walk past the very person that God calls us to be a blessing for. "Lord, send me to the nations." Hey, I want to send you to the nations, but you've got a brother, a sister, a cousin that doesn't even know me yet. That's your nations. In the midst of their daily life, they came across the lame man. You know, the miraculous is not just meant to be grand, but it's in the minute details of your life that you see the beautiful opportunities, or, you know, as Shane Willard calls them, the divine opportunities to encounter God. You know, I'm going to share a testimony on this that happened to us yesterday, actually, because it's the Holy Spirit that guides. So yesterday at our prophetic summit, I don't know what crazy people thought that I'd be great for this one. They put my beautiful face outside to welcome people coming in. Quite scary when the people that weren't coming to church saw me holding a welcome sign. They're like, "Good morning." "Morning." I'm like, "Oh, I thought I got a beautiful face." "I got a beautiful face, yeah, babe." That wasn't very convicting. So Levi and I are out there, right? And I'm like, you know, it's a bit cold and I want to go inside. And we, unbeknownst to us, it wasn't like the Holy Spirit came, right? He didn't come and go, "Hey, Levi, tell Dave to wait 10 minutes. Just sometimes it just happens. You get a prompting. No, bro, let's just wait another 10 minutes. "Yeah, but no one's coming in now, man. Everyone's inside." "Trust me, bro." You know how Levi talks? "Trust me, bro. Trust me. All right, bro, I trust you, man." And then I see this handsome man, Sonny, walk in. Sonny walks in looking like it was a deer in headlights, because it's his first time at our city location and he didn't know what to expect. In fact, if truth be told, and I've been given his blessing to share this, he wasn't actually going to come. But he came in. So it's like, all right, well, Sonny's the last one. Now I'm going in. You can stay on your own, bro. I'm going in. So Sonny walks in and he hasn't been there before. So I'm like, just walk with me. And beautiful Sonia was helping out with the food and setting up for our morning tea. And I asked her, are you going to be in this session? And she's like, no, I'm not going to be in this one because we're setting up the food. So I felt Holy Spirit say, Sonia's going to sit next to you. I'm like, okay, well, that's easy because Sonia's not there. I go, bro, come and sit next to me. You're going to be Sonia. I promise you, I won't hold your hand too much. I did a couple of times. I said that before. But if you were there yesterday, you would understand. Don't freak out. Anyway. It's beautiful hands, beautiful hands. But then the Holy Spirit, right, prompts me. Sonia shouldn't miss out either. See, I get this beautiful opportunity. You know, like preparing for a message is not me just researching Logos and reading every commentary. That's my moment of encounter. So I have that privilege, and I got to go on Friday to our staff discipleship, and I got that privilege. And I knew exactly what was coming because I knew how Richard works, right? And because I had that experience the day before, and I'll explain in a second. And so I messaged Sonia, guess what? We're swapping teams. Because I thought welcoming was all day, but it was just morning. I'm going to help her in food. You need to be sitting here too. And Sonny's like, no, I don't want to interrupt, because Sonny's a gentleman. If you haven't met Sonny, you got to meet Sonny, right? Just one of the most authentic, down-to-earth guys you'll ever meet. And he's like, bro, you know, you guys, you know, I don't want a third wheel with you guys, only two seats. And, you know, I'm like, bro, you need to be here. Remember I said that to you, right? You need to be here. So then I go and I'm out, and then Sonia's up there, and I actually missed the second session because we're getting food ready, and I laugh because all I remember hearing was, and again, for those that were there, we'll get the context. The other ones were like, what on earth? All I heard was champions and pigs. You're all pigs and champions. You're not dogs. So I'm like, clearly I haven't missed anything. But the way that Richard works, and I love that because that's, for me, in all honesty, when I get up in here and preach, there's the exact same mindset. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. Yeah. I'm not more anointed. I don't come here to give you an anointing. I come here to preach the word of Jesus. Simple as that. So what he did in that session, again, unbeknownst to me, he actually got everyone to minister on each other. And I'm probably breaking this the wrong way. I don't know how it happened, but he broke people off into groups. And then in that group, they selected a champion, a person that will share a story. And then champions became super champions. And you'll get the concept of what I'm getting to in a moment. And for me, it's one of the most beautiful prophetic summits I've ever been to. Because like he said, he would ask people, you thought when they ask you, how was the conference? You'd say, I was the guest speaker. Because he actually got people to share. So in the very last session, right, he gets the super champions up, and one of those super champions is Sonny. But hear this, right? So up there, there's about 20-odd people, right? And then he just feels as the Holy Spirit leads to call out people to just share what God spoke to them. And the first one, man, it will blow your socks off. This was a woman who, you know, and the way she said it made me laugh, escaping persecution from in India, Hindi, encounters God in India. It's the only one in her family. Her parents try to take her to a psychiatrist, and she's like, well, I'm bold enough, I'm going to preach Jesus to the psychiatrist. She finds a Christian man on matrimony.com. I didn't know that was such a thing because obviously I'm married, so there you go. And meets her husband. They chat over lockdown, comes here and marries him, and her family are trying to kill her. And she shares her story. And so what he did, right, he shares that. You share that. And then what God has done in your life, you pray over everyone there. Because he's not the anointed, gifted person. He's just a facilitator. Just like all of us, we facilitate what Holy Spirit is doing. He's the star, not me. Not he, not anyone. So then he calls this very handsome guy out to the front. That's Sonny, man. And in the preface to all of this, he says, these are the people that from the very beginning, the Lord has highlighted you long before you came here. That was the idea of the champions. Not that they were better. The whole thing, and he kept saying it, you never underestimate the story of the person next to you. Yes. So Sonny shares openly and honestly about his journey. And someone had prophesied over him that what he's going through is his redemptive story. So guess what? Sonny got to pray over everyone. For those that were struggling in their own redemption, a redemption on their lives. Yeah, come on, let's give God praise for that. Where am I going to with this? It wasn't the Holy Spirit doing this massive thing in worship that said, you must bring Sonny. It was just a moment. Hey, bro, I think you should sit with me. And if at the very least, you just sit at the front with us, praise God. But God has other ideas. Where does that come from scripturally? Again, I'm just sharing this very quickly. Ananias, not the guy that died for lying to the Holy Spirit. don't freak out, anyone. But Ananias, when all of a sudden God appears to him and say, hey, there's a guy on Straight Street called Saul. And right now he's blind and you're going to go and pray for him and baptize him, and he's going to be a preacher to the Gentiles. And Ananias is like, oh man, I know this guy's game. Saul just literally killed one of my mates, Stephen. Like, he literally just stoned him to death for believing in Jesus. Like, I know this is a trick, God. And God's like, trust me. He's encountered me and tells me what's going to happen. And Ananias simply said yes, and he went. And for those that, you know, aren't familiar who Saul is, Saul became Paul. Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. A lot of the teachings of what we read from came from Paul's revelation of Jesus. And if it wasn't for one person obeying God in the simple behind the scenes, it wasn't a crusade, it wasn't a revival conference, it was simply going to this house on Straight Street that he'd never been to just pray for a guy that he knew could kill him, but he trusted God. Yes. Good. Whew. And so they walked across. The man was lame from birth, used to rejection. That's, you think about it, they said, look at us, because he's like, man, he's those people just sitting there, not expecting anything. And then all of a sudden he hears, look at us, expecting money. He could never have anticipated what was about to come. And so then they say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. Pentecost is not about how great we are. Pentecost is how great he is. And in the authority of the name of Jesus, you can go to a condition and speak to it and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and they'll be healed. I was expecting more of a reaction, if I'm honest with you there, because that's very freeing for me, right? It goes back to Acts 1:8. It was the power of the Holy Spirit to bear witness to Jesus. They spoke to the condition and a miracle took place. And he walked, he leaped, and he praised God. Walked and leaped and praised. You got to think about what that looks like. This is a guy that all his life had never walked. And all of a sudden now he's just jumping. I'm not even going to try it because I'll probably end up falling over and hurting myself. But he's just this extravagant chaos. Him just jumping up, woo, doing whatever they do. I'm not going to try it again because it's going to look awkward. But what I love is that his response was Godward, not manward. Peter, John, tell me when your next revival conference is, bro, because I'm coming. No, like, stuff you guys. God, you're good. And they're like, yes, stuff us, guys, because it wasn't about us. It was Jesus. You read the next scripture, the next chapter, when Peter's preaching on what happens, because the people start thinking it's them, but it's like, no, it's not us. It's what Jesus, everything Jesus spoke about came to pass. He went back to Jesus, and the testimony was awe and wonder that they were amazed. This was a dude that couldn't walk, and he's walking. Many came to know the Lord that day. It's not necessarily recorded, but you know it to be true, because we're here today, thousands of years on. See, revival is the impact of the Holy Spirit's move. And it's not just the 4th to the 6th of July at Pneuma Church. It's every day we get that opportunity. I'm going to invite the band to come up. And it is incredible that the miracles that God will work through us, it's incredible how it happens as we are led by the Holy Spirit wherever we go. As we have faith and step out in trust, God displays his nature through us. And the Holy Spirit is not just for some, but it's for all of us, so that we can bear witnesses to Jesus to the ends of the earth. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the final scripture, which is Mark 16, verses 15 to 18. When we think about why miracles are normal, Jesus gives us insight in this scripture. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Interesting that. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. But and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Think about the precedence again. Go into the world and preach. Notice how he says, don't become preachers at a church. Go into the world and preach. Share the good. What's preach? To share the gospel. What's the gospel? To share the good news. In fact, and you know, the translation of it is almost like to share the good gossip. That makes sense. Hey, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about Jesus. It's not up to us to make people believe. Thank you, Alan Davies, for reading that and Jesus for giving me that revelation. It's not my job to make anyone believe, but the Holy Spirit will convict. Now, if people choose to decide out of a conviction, that's on them. But people are free to decide. But these signs will accompany. Not me. Miracles are meant to be normal, church. And it should accompany our testimonies to others. It's as simple as that. It should just accompany, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did to me. Let me tell you about when I was lost, now I'm found. Hey, now let me pray over you and see what He can do for you. Word first, sign second. Often we want to try to convince people by showing them all these signs, but I mean, I read about stories that actually freak me out. For those that, you know, obviously study the word, the sons of Sceva, that freaks me out because they were trying to do signs first without preaching. Simon, was it Simon the sorcerer or whatever his name was, trying to do signs, not, you know, to show what he was teaching. And then funny enough, when he was confronted, he was like, pray that doesn't happen, not let me repent for what I've done. Just pray it doesn't happen to me, what you're saying is going to happen. Jesus says, preach first, signs accompany. Too many of us are so fixated on signs that we forgot about the gospel and what it applies to us. And Jesus is bringing us back to the gospel because it's through the gospel, as they waited on Jesus' word, that the Holy Spirit suddenly came. God wants you to be His vessel. Neil shared a beautiful devotion before on this. When we talk about miracles, Neil and Jane, you guys are a miracle, what God has done through you. And there's more to that. I'm going to take their story because in a few months you're going to hear it from them directly themselves, and you're going to hear it too. Well, anyway, okay. Oops, I just gave it away. Spoiler alert. Is the supernatural a part of my daily experience? You know, I'm officially going to close the service right now because I know that there are some of you that, you know what, you need to be somewhere. That's totally fine. And thank you so much for coming today. But I'm going to open up the altars. We're going to have worship. And if you've never encountered the Holy Spirit, don't think about the outcome. Just these people didn't have an outcome. They just knew Jesus said, come. We'd love to pray for you. If you're needing healing in your body, I believe God wants to heal you today. And here's the cool thing about how God works. It might not even be for you. You might need to stand in the gap for someone. And God wants to heal them too. And so I'm just going to open up the altars, and because like I said, you know, we want the Holy, this is the Holy Spirit's day. The Holy Spirit wants to heal. And like I said, you know, it's probably a good thing we don't have family lunch today. However long Holy Spirit wants to be here, this is His space, this is His time. We honor Him, we give Him that space. And so I'm going to pray, I guess, to formally close. But we're just going to be in worship. If you want to encounter, our prayer teams are here. I'm going to be up here with the prayer teams. It'd be my honor and privilege to just pray with you and for you. But let's just pray. Lord, I just thank you right now, God. I thank you, Lord, that on Pentecost Sunday, Lord, what took place, Lord, wasn't the birth of a doctrine, but it was an encounter of a person. That, Lord, you honored the unity in the house. You honored, Lord, the expectancy of the people. You honored, Lord, their hearts over what they had done or what their status was. I thank you, Lord, that in that day, Lord, it wasn't the religious elite that spent hours upon hours studying a law but not knowing the Father behind the law. And so, Lord, right now, Lord, as we conclude this service formally, Lord, let your Holy Spirit come. And Lord, as I prayed at the start, Father, that as I say that we won't go to a specific thought of what it should look like, Lord. Lord, if some fall on their knees, praise God. If they stand and praise God, then praise God. But Lord, we just pray, open heart, open mind, Lord. You do what you need to do to us. You know us intimately, Lord. You know us better than we even know ourselves, Lord. So we just say that today, Lord. That as we open up these altars and spend the time here, Lord, that those that come up, I thank you, Lord, that you will fill them, Lord. And even those that need to go, Lord, as they go, that you would fill them, Lord, that they would be aware of your presence, Lord, that there won't be a feeling of judgment because they have to go. No, Lord, you don't work that way, Father. And so I pray, Father, that you would reveal your heart through your Holy Spirit to them, Lord. that they won't look at things from the lens of good and bad, Lord. But as children, Lord, they will just want what's best through you, Lord. So I pray for those that need to head off home, Lord, that will go wherever they're going, bless them. Let them be aware of you, Lord. For those that come up, bless them, Lord. Help them be aware of you, Lord. For those that come up for healing, Lord, that they will not leave the same, Lord. That they will be healed, Lord. Lord, I pray for anxieties and depressions to break off people right now, Lord. Lord, I pray for ailments, Lord. Knees, Father God, hips, backs, Lord, to be healed, Father Lord. We pray for baby Gabriel right now in hospital, Lord. He's already a miracle baby, but I thank you, Lord, that we're going to be dedicating that baby year one day, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and I pray right now, Father God, for broken marriages, Lord, that you would restore. Mark 10:9, let no man break what you have brought together, Lord. Lord, I pray for broken relationships between fathers and mothers and children, Lord. I pray that you would restore children back to parents, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will restore broken hearts back to you too, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're not concerned by what is happening around us, Lord. And so I pray that as we have this time in worship, Lord, however long we need, Lord, that our focus would be you, Father. Nothing else, Lord. I'm sick of doing church, Lord. I just want you, Lord. I'm sick of, Lord, just doing church and us just going through motions, Lord. I just want more of you, Jesus. Nothing else, Lord. Just more of you, Jesus. Jesus in my health. Jesus in my marriage. Jesus in my family. Jesus in my workplace, Lord. Jesus everywhere I go, Lord. Jesus in my kids' schools, Lord. Jesus at my local grocery store, Lord. I just want more of you, Lord. I don't want to pretend. I just want more of you, Lord. And I pray that that would be our hearts, Lord. And I'm sorry, Lord, for those that have been hurt by man, Lord. But you don't disappoint, God. You don't disappoint. So restore in us, Lord, the joy of our salvation. And I pray a blessing as we finish your service and spend time in your presence, Lord, that you go before us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at pneuma.church. Thanks for listening.